Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Different season, different challenges.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Planet FPL, Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. Sky FF, Sky Day today. Feels like it's been a while since we've really deep dive into Sky.
About
Sky,
a whole week, like Sky. It always is.
Yes. As we go into match week, whatever.
Match week 8. I don't know what bloody game week it is. It's probably 10 now or something. I don't know.
No idea what it matches up to in Sky.
Not a clue.
Are you all set? Are you planning on making any transfers? What's your kind of thoughts?
I didn't plan on... Sudge has just put his Sky team up and I don't think he can rotate his screen. So I'm looking at
it's
his
the
team.
App on a tablet doesn't rotate for some stupid reason.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's just the mobile phone app just blown up.
So if you're watching on YouTube and you see Suj
like sideways,
constantly leaning to the left.
I can just turn it up like that. It's not a problem.
That's why. Now no one can probably see you. In fairness, Suj, going into the last match week, I didn't intend to make any transfers and end up making 3, right? So
yes.
You've got to be reactive if shit hits the fan and stuff. But no, there is no intention for me to do anything now, bar injury suspension, until Harry Kane week. Which Harry Kane's been bashed on social media over the last 18 hours or so, because his England performance last night was a little bit of a shocker. But I maintain faith in Harry, as you know. But what it means is I'm not buying an Arsenal player, I think is probably the headline at the moment. Doesn't mean that if something doesn't happen over the weekend from an injury perspective that I might get one. But it looks like I'm not going now. What's
you are swinging with Conor Gallagher
and Emi Martinez.
Okay.
My outlook on it is like, what's my expectation from those two players? Well, my expectation is probably with the captaincy, 4 points for Gallagher on Monday. I don't expect anything. And my expectation from Martinez next Friday is probably 8 points.
Yep.
So my expectation is 12 points. Now, if I use two transfers, I want what? Probably maybe
25
to 30 on top of that.
Yeah.
And so the decision for me is no, because having had a deeper dive into data on Arsenal players and stuff, I mean, it doesn't kind of fill you with joy at the moment in terms of, oh, I'm going to get an Arsenal player, they're going to get me loads of tier points. I mean, Arsenal so far this season, on two occasions, one of their players has picked up passing tiers. You know when they were, Suj?
Against Spurs?
No, it wasn't actually. It was Xhaka and Lokonga in game 1 against Brentford.
Okay.
So in the last 6 games, no Arsenal players picked up a passing tier.
Okay.
And you think like White, Gabriel, and you think obviously they've been better the last 4 games since they got the players back fit, and White, Gabriel, Tomiyasu coming into the team, Ramsdale going in goal. No passing tier anywhere. And you would think with some of them fixtures, like Norwich at home and stuff, Burnley away, you'd be banking on something somewhere. Nope. Arsenal were quite happy to cede possession once they go in front. So if you're on Ben White, and you're captain Ben White, for example, against Palace and Villa, which is reasonable. There's nothing wrong with it, by the way. Listen, 2 sevens would be great. You get 14 points out of it, times 2, 28 points would be brilliant for you. But if you hit the passing tier at the moment, it looks like you probably need a 0-0.
Yep.
That's probably what you're looking for. Or Arsenal to be in a position where they're chasing the game and they go in front quite late in the game, maybe, and they've got domination of the ball. Palace are a side who've become far better with the ball this year. Villa, we haven't seen so much change. But we shouldn't necessarily expect Arsenal to have 65% possession against Crystal Palace. Actually, that's probably not going to be the case. And even more so, actually, if Arsenal go in front early, I wouldn't be surprised even if they have the
less.
Quite possibly. Particularly against Palace.
In terms of captaincy this week, see, I've got no planned transfers. I mean, Rudiger and Lukaku are flagged on my app at the moment, but excuse me, they are likely to play, so I'm not too worried about
Rudiger. I think it'll be okay. I love Lukaku. I think it'll be okay. I've got the same two players.
Yeah. On the Saturday, you are planning on captaining Mo Salah. Yeah, same as me.
Yeah, got to be.
Can't look beyond it. Really, can't look beyond it.
Well, you get the team, so I guess probably more the debate is what if he's not in it. Well, obviously we'll have Chelsea press conference update by then. But it would possibly be a close call actually for this particular fixture whether to go Rudiger or Lukaku. I'm also in the unusual position, I think, compared to the majority, that I've got double Manchester City defence, having now added Laporte to Diaz. But I know if I captain one of them, it's obvious the one I captain will get left out, wouldn't it? So I think it might be Rudiger for me actually if Salah was left out over Lukaku possibly.
On the Sunday, what are your thoughts at the moment?
I'll be on Mikel Antonio.
But do you have any other options?
Yeah, I got Damari Gray.
Okay.
If you're wondering if he suddenly tweaks something, I might just buy Alan Saint-Maximin, to be honest, as well, which you've got. I think he's a very interesting player to watch over the next few weeks. And I don't think buying him on Sunday is not the worst idea, by the way, either. I think Kane is the standout still. I really do. Like if you've got Harry Kane, just stick it on Harry Kane.
Yeah, nah, not for me. I think it's actually quite split, really. I don't think Everton-West Ham is going to be high scoring, especially from West Ham point of view. I think we'll only score one and maybe two. And the Newcastle-Spurs game, I mean, there's got to be a bounce at Newcastle, you'd think. At the moment, I'm more likely to captain Saint-Maximin. And Antonio is my backup. I mean, they're the only two players I've got on the day. But as it stands at the moment, I feel like going Saint-Maximin is the way to go. I don't think Antonio is going to hurt me by going off massively at Everton. So I think at the moment it's Saint-Maximin. But if we hear anything otherwise, I've got Antonio on Sunday as well.
Newcastle have conceded 11 shot tiers so far this season, and 7 of them at St James's Park. And we're not talking to world beaters here. So 3 West Ham players hit shot tier at Newcastle, 2 Southampton, 2 Leeds. Click, Rafinha and Elianusi all tier 2. Antonio, Bowen, Suchet, Ward-Prowse all tier 1. And it makes me think, no matter the circumstance at the weekend, I'm pretty sure Harry Kane will hit a shot tier on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Very confident of that. So I think by default, the Everton West Ham game is quite a difficult one to call. Like, I'm very comfortable captaining Antonio at the weekend. I think that's absolutely fine. But if I had a Harry Kane, I wouldn't think twice about it. I would still go with him. In spite of the fact, of course, what's happened with Newcastle is going to change the atmosphere there.
Yeah. If I owned him, I'd captain him, Harry Kane. I don't own him. I don't know how many do.
It doesn't mean that they might not be a little bit too hyper and get done on the counter and things like that. There's no way of knowing, is there? And actually, it's Kane and Son's strength in terms of how they work those situations if Tottenham can get the ball into them, which in the Villa game 2 weeks ago was much, much better. Kane had 4 shots on target in that fixture. I don't know how he didn't score. So, yeah, if I had Harry Kane, I'd be going Kane Sunday. That said, I wouldn't buy him.
No.
Not at all, no. If you've got, I think those two fixtures on Sunday are close enough that if you've got any form of coverage, stick the armband on it and get on with it. What's Antonio's ownership, Such, at the moment?
Antonio's ownership, I can tell you, sir, amongst the top 1,000 is 45%. 8.2% overall, 19.5%.
Okay. And Kane?
Kane, I don't have in front of me, but I can pull him up.
Just trying to lean left.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the ideal situation. Harrison Kane. He's 13.9% percent overall, so just a little bit less, 6% less. 26.5% in top 1K.
I think it'd be close then. It'd be close between the two in terms
of
who's most.
Do you think a lot of people will buy him?
I think those with Kane, Antonio go with Kane, I think, personally.
Saint-Maximin is more owned overall than Harry Kane, but less owned than in the top 1%.
And what's his top 1,000?
Top 1,000, 9%.
Yes, nothing. But Kane and Antonio for captaincy Sunday would be close.
Do you think, for people like me that have Saint-Maximin and Antonio, the ownership on Antonio is too high to swing against? Because sometimes it's not worth it, is it?
No, I think it's really close on Sunday. So as I said, if I had both, I'd go Kane. I wouldn't think
but
twice.
If you had Antonio
it,
or Saint-Maximin, do you think it's okay to go Saint-Maximin over Antonio?
I would go Antonio.
To cover it off, the safer bet.
It's not worth it. If Saint-Maximin does really well, it's still going to be good for you as well.
That's so. Also true, yeah. I'm not one of those that particularly looks into effective ownership, but maybe we should. So, yeah, okay. We're expecting December fixtures today, but it doesn't help because we're recording in the morning and the Premier League will do what they want to do when they want to do it. So we can't really help with
forward
planning.
This isn't one of those occasions where we do the podcast and then the fixtures drop afterwards and we go, oh, you're kidding. We know the fixtures are going to drop today, basically.
Yeah.
So,
but it's still a way away that I don't think anyone's making transfer decisions this week to react to that.
It's far enough away. We'll do the courtesy of let Fergie and his boys talk about it on Sunday night and the other pods. We'll talk about it next Wednesday. I don't think the December TV fixtures coming out really shouldn't impact the decisions that you're making this weekend. And I think, as discussed on a couple of the previous pods, I think we know the first couple of weeks in December anyway, in terms of there's going to be Ronaldo entry points. I'm fairly confident United's first two games will be Thursday, Sunday. Tuesday the 30th of November, I'm pretty sure is going to be Leeds Palace and Newcastle against Norwich. So I'm not expecting anything to really surprise. I guess further down the line from beyond the midweek, match week 17. I mean, match week 18 and beyond is nearly impossible to predict at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see the way it shapes up. One thing I did hear is that the January fixtures will follow as well, i.e. not today, but we might get the January fixtures this month as well, possibly.
Right,
possibility.
Okay.
So
they are planning a bit further ahead.
It looks that way.
Mm. Good. Do you want to...
What are you doing, Arsenal?
Ben White. I've owned him since overhaul, this point, so I may as well. It's not that I don't have any Crystal Palace or Aston Villa coverage, so I've got no choice, firstly. And Ben White's perfectly comfortable.
What would you do if you didn't have anything?
If I didn't have anything, I'd probably be looking to move on Saint-Maximin after Sunday to Conor Gallagher.
What about Arsenal Villa then?
Well, that would be another problem as well, but I would have planned for it. To be honest with you, it's a bit of a hypothetical, because I would have planned for it. Like, I wouldn't have got myself to this situation without it. Like, if Ben White's out, then it's a very easy move to Gabriel or whoever I decide, even Saka maybe. So, yeah, what would I do if I didn't have it? I'd get an Arsenal player for the two games rather than one Palace and one Villa. And the one I'd get is probably Ben White.
Yeah, to be honest, if it's just for the two games, it's on off. Honestly, I would get Aubameyang. Because I would just look at it and go, he's got the most power. There isn't enough in the rest of the players at the moment to suggest that other players can be consistent with even passing tiers, never mind shot, tackle tiers and stuff. Interestingly, another one as well. I don't notice when I happen to be looking at save tiers. I think it was save tiers I was looking at. With Crystal Palace. So Crystal Palace are the only team that haven't forced a goalkeeper into a save tier yet this season.
Okay.
So
Ramsdale.
So literally wherever you look, there are pros, right? It's two home games. And it's a limited source of data. But wherever you look, there's something that makes you kind of think twice about it in terms of do you want the Arsenal player long term? You don't have to. I know there's plenty of people who are going to be on this chain move that I had originally planned, which was something like Kane or Bamiyang and then Lukaku on Saturday. And if your intention is to still follow that chain path, you should still go and buy an Arsenal player on Monday. And my preference would still be Aubameyang because he's the most likely player to go off big.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the one that's going to frustrate you the most. We already know that. We've been over it several times. But he's the most likely to go big. Therefore, he's the one that I would be getting. If, you know, if Antonio got injured on Sunday, for example, I would give it some consideration. Actually, that's not going to work, so I wouldn't be able to afford him. But if Lukaku, for example, got injured on Saturday, or Salah, I'd have a relook at it.
Yep.
But otherwise, I think it's a skip for me because I think the conclusion I've come to is there's not an Arsenal player I want long enough term, and I do have two players now following the reworking I did the other week that cover me off for the two fixtures.
Right. Let's get into some of these Twitter questions that we've had, shall we? Because I'm sure they are going to also cover off some of the talking points that are out there right now.
I'd have thought so, pal.
Dan Bright, is it just me or does this season feel harder than last season?
I'm sure we get this question every year. I'm sure we'll get it next year. You could argue against the opposite because so many experienced Sky managers have started so well. So, I mean, in terms of actually winning the game, you might look at it and go, it's harder. But I think so many experienced players have started really well, so I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think there are money issues.
But that does make it harder.
The likes of Lukaku and Ronaldo joining the game have made it a bit more harder in terms of you've got to be a bit cuter in terms of moving between the premiums and stuff. Whereas if they'd not joined the league, I think most people would have the opinion right now of, well, Mo Salah's sitting there all season long and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
People might be going, say, just Salah and Antonio up front and generally looking at a 5-3-2. But I think most people at the moment probably think, I need the three forwards. So, yeah, there's challenges, but harder? Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah. Different season, different challenges.
I would have said there's two things to think about. One is how well everyone else is doing. That makes it harder to climb the ranks when good, experienced managers are up there. The second is there's less game days as compared to last season, which means that's both, again, harder and easier. But because you had more captaincy options, more days to have a captain, it was easier to make up ground potentially sometimes where you can go big. So having more days obviously gives you more swings at it, which might have made it a bit easier as well. Then I suppose you're having to plan more captaincies though. So you're having to perhaps have a wider spread of players sometimes than you necessarily need. So it can go both ways.
I think fixture dates generally have been pretty kind.
Oh yeah, actually, we've needed just a handful of captains to cover off the majority of it. So is it harder? I'm probably with you, to be fair. It's just different.
Different years, different challenges. I mean, to go back to Aubameyang as an idea. Like if I had Ronaldo, I'd get Aubameyang on Monday, I think.
Right.
Because it's a perfect escape off him. But therefore, because you're on that route, that makes sense. If you're not on that route, it doesn't make as much sense to sacrifice Salah, Lukaku or Antonio or even Kane necessarily. Kane, yes, I would as well.
Jake Connard, so far, I have only used transfers to resolve injuries. You and me both, Jake.
And everybody last season. I mean, talk about... It don't feel like it's been as bad this year with that,
no.
For example.
No.
Last year was unbelievable with injuries.
Yeah. Should I be more aggressive with transfers and would you recommend using transfers to target fixture swings the same as FPL or is it more important to target captaincy for single game day fixtures and fixture gains, 4-for-2s and whatever? So the it's not worth... The captaincy situation, I think you can maneuver the captaincy situation without needing to hop on, hop off. So I don't think it's worth just saving your transfers to target single game days. I think you can work around the two or three that you might need to cover between now and Christmas.
It's a regular question. And sorry to Luke Disabled because I realise he'll be listening. He's going, James, do you know how many injury problems I've had this season? Yeah, sorry, mate. You've been deadly unlucky. I think it's a question we get a lot in terms of, when shall I move? When shall I make the transfers? Well, there isn't a set, hold them till January, or if the gain's there, go and get the gain. It's as simple as that for me. I think an Arsenal is a perfect example of that this week, where it's going to work for a lot of people, and it's for a lot of other people that don't need to use it. And so for someone like me, I feel like I'm holding two transfers back. But then I used three that I weren't meant to last week. So yeah, it swings about some roundabouts.
I'm all for holding back for a few more weeks. Look, the last international break before next year is November.
Yep.
So just kind of play it safe until then. And after that, be aggressive over Christmas. That's going to be my strategy. Just because of injuries and this whole COVID stuff, I think I want to hold back to cover me off problems until that international break is out of the way. And then I want to be a bit more aggressive.
I mean, my intention now between this break and the November break, in my plan, I don't have any transfers.
Yep.
I'm sure there will be some because shit always hits the fan inevitably. But I think that's partly was thinking about this on the way in terms of if I had an overhaul now, what would I do? And actually, I'd be very close to the team that I've got right now. It wouldn't be much different.
Shadibidibi would like to know if Villa versus Southampton is a skip now if you have no coverage and can't move to Martinez as he's got Pickford in there.
No, in my opinion. I would look at an alternative Aston Villa player. And I would consider a name I mentioned last week because, yes, that Pickford mood obviously... would, and same for Jose Sarr owners, you are kind of blocked with Martinez now because of that Wolves Everton game. But I think Sunday the 31st, Villa host West Ham, Leeds go to Norwich is the other game. Honestly, just think of it the same as the two Arsenal games in a row. You've got two Villa games in a row. The only difference with this is there is some competition in terms of most people already have some captaincy coverage and perhaps a Rafinha or a Leeds defensive asset or obviously Mikel Antonio. But you can go in on a Sunday, get your two games, hop back off. And actually, you don't even really need to because afterwards they've got Brighton at home, which is reasonable after the Southampton fixture, and then Crystal Palace away Saturday the 27th. I'm fairly certain that they will play Manchester City on Wednesday the 1st of December. There will be 10 teams that you could move from a Villa player to on Sunday the 28th. So we have five games confirmed for that date, Sunday 28th of November, so we know. The person that I would have in mind that would be really interested in is Ollie Watkins. That's what I think I would do. I would look to manoeuvre a situation where I got Watkins in for West Ham at home, Southampton away, then move it immediately or keep for the two more fixtures and sell after they go to Crystal Palace on the final weekend in November.
FF underscore Poggers wants to know what to do with Christensen. It's been disappointing since overhaul. Is he worth the hold, or is he using a transfer for a sideways move to something like Azpilicueta, who seems more nailed on, even worth it? Christensen.
Well, he's almost certain to play this weekend because Thiago Silva won't, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's Reece James might be fit as well, which can have a knock-on effect in terms of where Azpilicueta plays. But it's probably reasonable to assume that the back three at Brentford will be Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rudiger. I think the Chelsea players you've got at the moment, and I know there's a number of people have gone with like blanket four, I've even seen fives knocking about defensively. I think you keep it till the end of this brilliant little run, suffer the ins and outs, and then you move off after the Burnley fixture in Saturday the 6th, or move off what you want to at least. Again, there are eight teams you can escape to on Sunday the 7th of November, and a lot of them would be like Liverpool playing that day, Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham. There are some interesting assets that play the next day that you can go to.
We've got a question coming in from Thomas White. Ronaldo to Son or Kane is on the card, surely. I'm favouring more towards Son. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's worth a transfer? I'll captain the Spurs player I'll bring in on Sunday. You've already said you think Kane is a better shout than Son.
He is in this format, yeah.
And because of the shot tiers, basically.
Yeah.
No questions, no reasons. Like, you're not holding the money back for anything, particularly going Son over Kane, not worth holding the money back?
I mean, I've left myself short now of the planned move Lukaku to Kane, which I've got planned in for when Tottenham play Leeds, which I may not end up doing because I've got the Manchester City team sheet that I can see the same day. So it's a possibility that he gets there and I don't do it. But that's my plan. And it's kind of next planned transfer is Sunday the 21st of November. But for me to make that move, I need to find some money from somewhere else first. And I'm sure between now and November the 21st, I'm going to have an opportunity through enforced change that I'll have to try and find that money. But I look at Tottenham's fixtures coming up. West Ham away the following Sunday, the 24th. Then it's United away Saturday, the 30th. And then you've got a kind of a big gap where there's a number of teams actually play twice in between, including Aston Villa, before Tottenham play Everton on Sunday the 7th. And the entry point for Tottenham now really is Sunday the 7th or Sunday the 21st. That's the point to go in. You can do it, of course you can. And I think it's probably more that you want to get rid of Ronaldo because of his upcoming fixtures rather than actually want Harry Kane, because I think, as we've discussed before, next week, got a ticket, by the way.
To our place, yeah, away. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot. I would captain Antonio over Kane in that fixture, even though I'd captain Kane over Antonio this week.
Okay.
Personally. So it would be a no for me. I think, honestly, if I was looking to move Ronaldo, I would be strongly considering Aubameyang on Monday as the alternative. And there are ways to get off. I mean, you can go Aubameyang for the two games.
Can I pause you?
Of course you can.
I'm going to read Phantom Ansel's question. Is Aubameyang a definite sell after the Friday night because it's Leicester afterwards who looked defensively weak? And then Watford and Newcastle, two of the three after that. I know Liverpool away is difficult in between. You're about to talk about when to come off Aubameyang, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So there are options. So obviously straight after Villa is one option, and then you've got your choice of 18 teams. So that gives you the biggest, widest pool in terms of selection. You could keep for the Leicester game. The problem with the Leicester game is if you then move off after then, and you've only got six teams to choose from in terms of the gain, and from a financial perspective, where are you going? Because the six teams that are playing, I mean, it could be that Aubameyang to Watkins is a very sensible kind of chain move on Sunday the 31st. Then you're just holding the money back. Then you could move, for example, you could keep Watkins for those four games that I said, and if you've got the money in the bank, Watkins to Kane on Sunday the 21st of November, if that sort of chain move works for you. Don't worry about leaving the money aside for a little bit. That's a good sort of chain move, but it requires you probably to, if you've already got Aubameyang, have money set aside or have a different plan that you're going to find it. Because obviously Aubameyang up to Kane is a little jump. What's Aubameyang now? Shit cheap now, isn't he, I think?
Well, he hasn't changed in price from the start of the season.
He's 10 point something now.
He is 10.7 or 10.8.
Anyway, it's about another 1 point. It's about another 1.5 or so to Harry Kane, isn't it? I think you'd have to go up far enough. But yes, you could keep. Annoyingly, the Watford game is Sunday the 7th.
10.3.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need to have an extra 1.7 knocking about to get Harry Kane, which you might be able to maneuver from a different move while you're making that Aubameyang, Watkins, Kane chain move as an example. You probably wouldn't sell after Liverpool on Saturday the 20th because it's Newcastle at home on a Saturday the following week. And actually, that's probably the best exit point because then they're about to walk into United away, Everton away, which are highly likely to be Thursday and a Sunday. So there'll be teams in between the Newcastle Man United games for Arsenal that will play twice. And again, that's Sunday the 28th. You've got a choice of 10 teams you can go to, which include Chelsea, Manchester City and Manchester United. You could even go straight back to like Ronaldo then.
Two questions that I think we've answered. So let's sum them up in two words, I think. Hi, guys. This is from Kippy. Pete Cawley, which Villa asset would you recommend to bring in to cover the Arsenal and Southampton games? Because I've got Gallagher for Monday, and FPL Wilson already has Gallagher to captain on Monday. So is it worth bringing a Villa player instead of an Arsenal player? Obviously, because you get the double captaincy out of it. So is the answer to the which Villa player literally Martinez or Watkins?
If you're sitting there with just Gallagher, which I think is a common one at the moment, I would buy an Arsenal player.
But then that doesn't give you coverage of Southampton Villa.
No, of course it doesn't. I'd make another transfer. And I'd make it on the Sunday when Villa play West Ham.
Okay.
That's honestly what I would do.
And that gives you an extra fixture.
The Friday entry point, shit. Buying players on a Friday, for me, should be when you've got an injury in the midweek. Okay, fine, I'll enter a player. When a team's playing on a Friday, really, you need to buy on a weekend before. Okay. And this is why we said, when Villa played Tottenham, ironically, that was the entry point. Because Villa play on Saturday this week. So again, if you've got an injury through the international break, fine. Buy the Villa player this weekend for for the Wolves game. But otherwise, I wouldn't buy on the Friday. I would buy an Arsenal player.
Steve has a question. He's looking to halt a massive drop over the last couple of weeks. We'll be bringing in JWP for Torres to cover captaincy, and all the other captaincies are covered. He does have Salah, Antonio, Lukaku, Damari Gray, Tielemans, and so on. Question is...
Sorry, repeat, bringing Ward-Prowse in suspended.
For Torres to cover the captaincy in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Pre-planned
yeah.
transfer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I replace Laporte or Azpilicueta after Friday? Do I replace Ben White with Laporte or Azpilicueta after Friday?
So it's a separate question. What's the reference to getting Ward-Prowse in then?
That's just
the fact that it's covering Southampton Villa. Yeah. Okay, no, that's fair enough. I don't love it. It's not two players I'd particularly want to be getting rid of at the moment. Laporte. I don't think you can get rid of Azpilicueta on the.
It's
the
getting rid of White.
Chelsea have still
getting
got
rid of White for Azpi or Laporte.
You can't be getting rid of White now. They've got the game
after
on
Friday.
Monday.
After Friday.
Oh, after Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I should have read it. The question is, do I replace White with Laporte or Azpilicueta after Friday?
I personally, I'd probably Laporte at the moment. Personally.
Okay.
Because I think it's you're coming onto the Chelsea run a bit late. It's one of them where it's like, right, either go on at the start and beat everyone or kind of suffer it and muddle through with your one or two players instead. So I think I'd probably more want to attack Manchester City. And that is a reasonable entry point with Brighton away, Palace at home. Then they have some more difficult fixtures. But at the moment, and as I do every Sky podcast, I'm going to recommend tomorrow's podcast, which I've already recorded last night with Johnny and Jack for Man City Burnley tomorrow. And we obviously talk about Laporte and is it nailed now? Is John Stones a legitimate threat? Or is it going to be like it was last year where Laporte couldn't get a look in and now John Stones just can't get a look in? We talk about that. It doesn't mean that Laporte's going to play every game. Obviously not. This is Manchester City. But at the moment, yeah, it looks like Laporte will stay in that team. And I think that's very interesting for Diaz owners to consider. I've got Diaz and Laporte now. And that's an easy way for me money, isn't it? Diaz to, when I talk about that Kane move in a few weeks, Diaz to Cancelo, particularly if it's one where I've got the team and Diaz isn't in it. Oh, I'll dive down the money there. That works. But I'm a little bit conscious of it. Because if I do need to go back to Diaz, or if I want to get to Van Dijk or Trent, it becomes quite difficult, actually. But I think, to answer the question, I'd go Laporte, I think.
Craig Kemp, this is a good question. What do you think is the optimum defensive setup? Four defenders costing $9 million plus, VVD, Azpi, Rudy, Cancelo, and so on. Or the inclusion of a super cheap option like an Ethan Pinnock? I've got Markel sitting in there at the moment. He's covering me off a little bit. And he hasn't been doing badly with fours and fives the last few weeks. Do you think you want to go big at the back, James? Or do you think it's okay to have a cheapie in there as well?
That one statistic I did notice, the Wolves, I did some research during the break. Most tackle tiers from Wolves players, 11 times their players have picked up tackle tiers. I think if we're looking at this defensively, we can now, we've got 7 games worth of data and we consider things like I said, like Arsenal players not hitting passing tiers and stuff at the moment. We can kind of narrow our search, I think, to what we want defensively to include 6 teams. The big four, of which you would have some severe doubt about Manchester United at the moment with Varane injured, Harry Maguire injured, look like they're both out for the weekend. So probably not United at the moment, but they're worth keeping in mind longer term, I think, particularly with that fixture swing they have in December. City, Chelsea, Liverpool, obvious. The two other teams, I think, of real interest. Brighton, we've been here before, haven't we, with Lewis Dunk and stuff. And obviously Adam Webster when he returns at $7 million. And there'll be a number of people sitting there with Shane Duffy at the moment. It's worth saying exiting Brighton this weekend for an Arsenal player is not the worst idea. Brighton have got City and Liverpool after the game against Norwich on Saturday. And Leeds. The Leeds at the moment are underperforming a bit from a passing tier perspective, but they've had a lot of injuries. And we know that their players are very capable of it. Like, if Llorente could stay fit, I genuinely believe he could be a really good Sky asset. Ailing, we know, is decent. Yeah. Right back or centre back. If he plays centre back, he gets passing tiers. At the moment, they haven't had many this season. But the way they play, I think, means that they will do once they get players back fit. And Wolves kind of actually at the moment work as the best budget one because of what I said. Players like Markow and Kilman are picking up a reasonable enough amount of tackle tiers at the moment to see you through. But I think primarily what most of us would want is probably what we all wanted at overhaul, which was Adam Webster and three others. And those three others ideally coming from the three best teams, Chelsea, Manchester City and Liverpool. And I think that's probably the ideal setup that most people want. I think, as I said on the previous question, the danger of going with, say, four nines, which, you know, you've got Aspie, Rudiger, Laporte, Cancelo. Like, if you had that four right now, that's so reasonable. Like, I wouldn't be looking to move it. It just becomes difficult if you need to put that money up again. It's got to come from somewhere else.
FPO Hambo wants to know how long till you get Webster back. Give him a couple of games to avoid re-injury or not. I don't see... unless I need him for captaincy coverage, I don't see the Markow to Webster move as one that I'm going to make.
Yeah, no.
It might not even happen till the next overhaul.
There is a case to say, again, chain moving, and this might be kind of a change of system. But if you were going to, say, Watkins, and you had a 4-3-3, there is a case to, straight after the Villa Southampton, throw that back to Webster if he's back fit. So the next day they have Newcastle at home, Saturday the 6th, and then you're on the other side of the Manchester City, Liverpool fixtures. Otherwise, there isn't a good entry point till we know those TV fixtures. There isn't. That would be the only entry point, is when they play Newcastle, and I think that is literally specifically if you are selling a Southampton or Aston Villa player, or if you are covering for an injury, obviously. Otherwise, I need to see them TV fixtures, and I don't think I'll be going back for a while.
FPO Hamber also wants to know, when will the blanket Chelsea defence start paying off? Rotation seems to be benefiting those not so heavily invested. I've only got the one in Rudiger. I mean, that's the
part of course, isn't it?
Yeah, the path you walk when you choose to go blanket.
When you go Chelsea City defensive, you have to know what potentially can come with it. Like, I've bought Laporte. I didn't really have a lot at Anfield. I realised when I made that decision, there's every chance he might not play against Burnley, and you think, well, I'd have been better off waiting. By this point, I've made 3 points, and James Ward-Prowse has done 2 games of his suspension. I could have just kept him, right? So, you know the path. Exactly that. When you buy Chelsea City players, there is no guarantee that they're going to play. It can only be as safe as it can be, and the likes of, I think, Rudiger is the safest of all, personally. Bar the fact he's got a flag at the moment, but we think he'll be okay for the weekend. You stick till the end of this brilliant run, at least till the end of the Burnley game.
Yeah,
there's no point just pulling out just because. Honestly, I think even Alonso, if I had Alonso at the moment, I think I'd keep him in this game. I wouldn't in other fantasy games, but in this game, I think I'd keep him till the end of that Burnley fixture, and then make a decision that no matter what, after that Burnley fixture, who's coming in for him. Because he could play one of the next 3 games, he might score big.
Yep.
And therefore, it's worth keeping a transfer.
Yep. FPL Chancer, a friend Dan wants to know that the answer to this question, James. He's 6 transfers in, which is more than he'd hoped at this stage. Is it worth using more for Villa Saints to cover captaincy, or can you get by with 10 men when you've overburnt your transfers?
Yeah, as I said several times, I really think Southampton Villa now is a Villa player when they play West Ham on a Sunday before.
Right. And the last question of the show, James, goes to Claire. FPL Claire wants to know. She needs a player for the 2 single game days, the Arsenal days, preferably Arsenal. I'm thinking about Jose Sarr to Ramsdale on Sunday, Monday. The other option is Duffy to Ben White, but doesn't have enough money for Duffy to Ben White. I can pull up the team. You've got Jose Sarr. I would say she's sitting on Ronaldo, and your Ronaldo to Aubameyang is...
Importantly for the listeners, she's got Damari Gray for the coverage of Wolves Everton.
Yep.
Say if she was selling Sarr.
Right.
Yeah.
So going to an Arsenal player doesn't give coverage for Saints Villa, but obviously she's got Gallagher for the Monday. So Ronaldo to Aubameyang?
Yeah.
And just go big. Ronaldo to Aubameyang, 2 captains from Aubameyang, go big, and then
honestly,
decide what to do after that.
On that, I would be, and see, that holds the money perfect, because if you're going Ronaldo at the start of the train, the when we kind of went Aubameyang, Watkins, Kane, the money's there, it's held, right?
Yep.
So Ronaldo to Aubameyang Monday. Then after Aubameyang plays Leicester on the 30th, next day you got Watkins versus West Ham, Sunday the 31st. I'd roll Watkins on probably right up until, in that case, if you were going to Kane afterwards, till after Brighton on Saturday the 20th, by Harry Kane on Sunday the 21st.
Okay. And our friend Stian's put a question in, but I can't answer it today, Stian. I think it's a rollover from our Patreon Q&A.
Doesn't have to be Harry Kane, by the way. That could easily be Kevin De Bruyne on that day as an alternative, Sunday the 21st.
Mm. Stian wants to know what our commandments are for our religion. That's a bleed over from the Patreon Q&A, where we are developing and inventing a religion. So that's one. Well, commandments.
It's a
anyway.
Cult, isn't it? The cult of Planet FPL.
Something like that. Stian, we will get to these commandments, I promise you. If anyone's interested in the Patreon Q&A, then head over to patreon.com/planetFPL. That's the Q&A, James. That's the captaincy. Keeping it quiet this week in Sky and just ticking along.
Yep. So captains to repeat. So I'll be Salah, Antonio Gallagher.
Ben
You'll
White.
Be
Salah, Antonio, Ben White.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's I think what I will be going with.
If you're going without Arsenal, realistically, the next four game days are survival, actually, because the likes of Aubameyang and some will go. He could go off, right? You're obviously sitting there hoping that he doesn't.
No. We shall see. Make sure you do tune in to Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow. Johnny Pringle and Jack Turfy Topper talking about Manchester City versus Burnley. On Friday, James got a live stream.
Yeah. By the way, just very briefly, and this is not a conversation for now, keep an eye on Dwight McNeil after this weekend.
Okay.
For Sky, genuinely a possibility. Someone to keep an eye on.
That's one that might crop up. There's also Patreon pods the rest of this week. We have a quiz. We have Tottenham today and the differential show on Friday revealing our teams. So that's plenty of content heading your way. Make sure you are staying safe, looking after yourselves, and we'll be back at you tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.